a teenage young girl had been kind of moody and glum with her parents, probably for the last several weeks to a month. And she got ready to go out with her friends to the movies. And as she was getting ready to go out the door, her mother said to her, "Sweetie, have a good time." And the girl kind of snapped her neck around, looked at her mother kind of in a disrespectful way and said, "How dare you tell me what to do?" Well, that may be a little bit over the top, but it does illustrate one point. And that point is there's a war going on between children and parents. There's a bitter war going on between parents and children. And parents and children are fighting about and warring over so many different things. So what I wanted you to do, I want you to drop in the chat. Now, again, doesn't necessarily have to be your children, but it can be. I'm going to actually go there. We're going to be transparent, all right? We're going to be transparent. So when you and your children, let's do two levels here. When you and your parents warred over certain things, what did you all fight over? So that is, if you're an adult, your parents, you and your parents, what did you all tend to fight over? Now, if you are a parent now and have children, what is it that you typically fight over as children and parents? There's a war. It's obvious there's a war going on between children and parents. And so what are some of the things that you and your children, if you are a child and you're able to be online and be on the phone or be on the computer, what is it that you and your parents tend to fight about? So drop it in the chat. Again, this is about being transparent, right? Being transparent. So when we fought, that is me and my kids and Tanya and our kids, when we warred over certain things, we kind of considered them relatively minor, but they could have had a big impact. So one of the things that we chose to do as parents, we wanted to fight over the things that were real battles. So when Micah came home and said that I want a mohawk as a haircut, we didn't fight over that. That wasn't something that we would fight over because that was really not necessarily that serious to us. Now, again, this is just us. I know there are some other parents who say, "Oh, wait a minute." When Marvin said that, "Hey, I want to get my ear pierced." Like, okay, like we didn't fight over that. Like my mother and father, we fought over that because I did get my ear pierced when I was in high school or when I was in college. And my mother and father, like, man, I thought they were going to die when I came home with an earring in my ear. And it was my mother came, she looked at me, she said, "You just ruined my whole day." And like, we fought over that, but it wasn't, me and Tanya said that that's not something we're going to fight over. That's a small battle for us. When Marvin said he wanted to get a tattoo, it's like, or when Michaela said she wanted to get a tattoo, it's like, okay. Now, again, I am not saying for parents to do that. I am not saying that. I'm just simply saying that we chose to war over certain things. Like, if I'm going to do drugs. Like, that's something that we actually fought over. We when they disobeyed, like when we told them to do something, that was something that we would fight over because we're trying to teach responsibility. If they wanted to like steal the car, take the car while we were sleeping, those are fighting things for us because now we don't know if we can trust them when we leave the house. So what are some things that you and your kids tend to fight over or argue over or war over? We had arguments over phones and how they would use the phones and if they would even have phones. And so drop in the chat right now some of the things that you and your children tend to argue over or fight over. The truth is, there's a war going on between parents and children. And yet it doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. I believe that the war can end. And I believe that when parents and children actually fulfill their divine responsibilities that we're going to take a look at today. We're just going to take a look at the children's responsibilities today, but we're going to take a look at the parents' responsibilities next week. I believe that when parents and children fulfill their divine responsibilities that God gives them, gives us, I believe the war can end and there can be peace and harmony in our homes. So here's a big thought for the day. Here's a big thought. It's on the screen right now. Christian families can end the war and have peace and harmony in their homes when children, remember I said I'm going to talk to children today, fulfill two divine responsibilities or two responsibilities found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. You can look it up in the table of contents, go to Ephesians, you go to the Gospels, you get to Acts, you get to Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians, Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 2, and we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then and verse 4 we'll take a look at next week. So this is what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first command with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so there are two responsibilities. But before we get to the responsibilities, I want to talk about just the very first part of the verse. It says children. So what did Paul have in mind when he said children? What did he have in mind? Well, he had in mind several things. The first thing that he had in mind is that he was talking to individuals who were probably younger and more than likely teenagers. Now, you could be 20 and 30 years old living in your parents' home in the first century. But in essence, Paul is talking to younger children, and he's talking to teenagers who are living under the roof of the parents. But another thing that Paul is after with children here, he is actually raising the level of importance and respect and dignity and honor of the children. You see, in the first century, children had very few to no rights. And a letter like this that Paul is sending, he would not send it directly to the children. He would actually send the message through the parents. But the fact that Paul devotes a section of scripture and he speaks directly to children, like I'm speaking to you right now, children, it raised the level of the importance and dignity and honor of the children in a society that had very little value for children. So I want you to know, young man and young lady, if you are a teenager and if you are a child 5, 6, 7, and 8 years old, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, all the way up to teenagers in high school, if you're living under your parents' authority and their roof, I want you to know that you, just like Paul invited them to be a part of the larger community, we want you to know, man, you are so important to Trinity Church. And beyond that, you are so important to the body of Jesus. Don't let anybody ever tell you, as a follower of Jesus, we just want to see you, not hear you. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're not important in the church. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't have value and you don't have gifts and that your voice doesn't matter. Hear it from Pastor Marvin. Your voice matters. Your gifts matter. You are so, so important to the body of Jesus Christ. Your words, how God speaks to you and you come back and speak to the body, is significant. And so Paul had this in mind when he spoke to children. He said, you are part of the larger Christian community. You have value and weight in this body. He's talking to teenagers, and he's talking to individuals who say that they even wondered. So when they read this letter and Paul started with children, their eyes would have gotten open. Wait a minute, you mean you're talking to me? We never got this kind of attention when letters came, I mean, in our regular, normal societal structure. And so Paul wanted to honor children in this way. He wanted to honor children in this way. And so there are two responsibilities that children have to help in the war. Children, you are so important. If there is a war, if there is conflict in your family, you are so significant in helping to end the conflict and the war. The first responsibility is obey my parents. Obey my parents. Turn to your parents right now. Say, I'm supposed to obey my parents. I'm supposed to obey. Turn to your mom, turn to your dad, look them in the eye right now. I know it may be like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to do this. And mom, you're right, and dad, you're right. You've been telling me this all along. Just look them in the eye and say, I'm supposed to obey you. Now again, I want to give you the definition of what it means to obey. What it means to obey is to hear under, that's what the original word means, hear under. That is, place yourself under the authority and the words of your parents. Because their words are authoritative. Now, what I mean by that is that they're not trying to hurt you. They're not trying to wound you. They're not trying to spoil your fun. But your parents are, they are trying to help you understand the way the world works. Not only the way the world works, but the way God has set this up. Now, here it is. Now, if your parents ask you to do something that's unethical, immoral, ungodly, then you have a responsibility to say, now again, respectfully say, I want to obey God because what you're asking me to do is not right. I kind of wrestled with this because when we were growing up, this is back in the day when the insurance man, some of you are going to remember this, when the insurance man came to the door to collect the money for the insurance. And the insurance man would knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and my mother would send us to the door and say, mom is not here. And so I would go to the door and say, my mama says she ain't here. So it's like, no, that's not what you were supposed to say. But in my mind, and I was a believer at the time, I was saying, my mama says she's not here. I wanted to not lie during the time. She yelled at me as a result of that. But again, I wanted to honor God at this point more than honoring my parent because my mother was asking me to do something that was not necessarily right. So there's this sense where obedience is living under the words, the important words of your parents. So why should I obey my parents? There are several reasons why. I'm going to give you these quickly. Why should I obey my parents? Well, the first reason why we should obey our parents, both my parents are deceased, and so I tried to live in a way where I obeyed them and honored them. Even in my older age, I wanted to respect and honor them. We're going to get to that in a few minutes, the kind of distinction between obedience and honor. So the first reason why I should obey is because I actually recognize God-given authority. In other words, my parents are representatives of God. God has invested them with authority. And so for me to obey my parents, it's almost like it is I'm obeying God at the same time. So God is the one who's given my parents authority. And so when I obey them, I'm actually not only obeying them, but I'm also obeying God as well. So I am actually recognizing that God has invested something in them. There are two really, really important passages, or at least I consider them significant passages to help us understand this a little bit more. So this is Mark chapter 4, verses 39 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 39 through 41. And this is a passage where Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. And it says, he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. So he is speaking to the winds and the waves. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Talking to the disciples. And they were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea, here's our word found in Ephesians chapter 6, obey him. So when Jesus said, peace be still, the winds and the waves said, well, you ain't my daddy, you ain't my mama, and they didn't just kind of drag their feet and like we ain't doing it. No, they didn't, the winds and the waves didn't do that. The moment Jesus says, peace be still, guess what they did? They obeyed. Immediate obedience. Why? Because even the winds and the waves and the sea recognize that Jesus, who is creator, Jesus, who is the parent of the wave and the wind, they said, whoa, wait a minute. Someone who has greater authority is speaking to us, and we need to obey. And the winds and the waves responded. So when your mother and father ask you to do something, pick up the toys and wash the dishes, take out the garbage, or take the dishes out of the dishwasher, or load the dishwasher, or be home by your curfew time, or to bring the car back with gas in it, for teenagers, bring the car back with gas in it on time. Or when they say, listen, I don't want you having anyone in the house while we are away. Or if they say, pick up your toys, or can you make sure that you put things away, pick up your clothes from your off the floor and put them in the hamper, or put your clean clothes in the drawer, then the immediate response should be, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, or I will do it. Not waiting, not dragging your feet, not saying, hey, wait a minute, wait till I finish Fortnite and wait till I finish this video game. And no, they said, man, like they said, you know, can you do this right away? That's what it means to obey. That's what it means to live up under the words, the powerful words of a parent. Here's another one. This is Mark chapter 1, verse 27. The demons, and even demons are subject to the authority of Jesus. And when they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even unclean spirits or demons. And here's our word again, and they obey him. So as soon as Jesus says, come out of the person, the demons didn't say, who do you think you are? They didn't say that. No, Jesus says, come out, and the demons recognize a greater voice, and they respond. So the first reason I ought to obey, you ought to obey your parents, is because you tell God that, man, God, I recognize that you have placed something very, very important in my parents, and I need to respond to their words. Now, here's the second reason why we should obey. We actually reveal our worship to God. And this is, when you see in the passage, it says, in the Lord, it says, obey your father and mother in the Lord. It is this idea of that your parents are, again, these representatives of God. And they are representing God. And every opportunity you have to obey them, it is actually expression. This is an opportunity for you to tell God and your parents how much they are worth to you. That's where we get the word worship, is an idea that says, God, you are worth something to me. So I know we think of worship as singing and praying and playing music and those kinds of things. And all of those are expressions of worship. But obedience to our parents is actually an expression of, God, you are important to me. I don't want to just say it with my mouth. I want to tell you with my actions. And one of the actions is immediate obedience to our parents, responding to them with dignity and honor and without disrespect. So it reveals our worship to God. So if obedience says that God, number one, God exists, and I think he's worth something, then disobedience, and disobedience actually shows our disobedience and rebellion actually shows in our actions that maybe we don't believe that God actually exists, because remember, my obedience to parents as a follower of Jesus is an expression of worship. Now, if you don't believe me, here's a passage. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 30. I'm gonna read verses 28 and 29, and then 30 is gonna be on the screen. So this is Romans chapter 1, 28 through 30. It says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God," you're talking about individuals who decided that God didn't exist and we don't want to have anything to do with God. "God gave them to a debased mind." In other words, he says, if you want to do what you want to do, I'm going to let you do what you want to do, and you're going to suffer the consequences. "So do what they ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, and they are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil," and here it is, "and disobedient to parents." So what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, that those who decided not to keep God in their minds, they became, in a sense, practical atheists. Now, let me kind of break that down a little bit. Atheists are people who say they don't believe in God. A practical atheist is someone who say they believe in God, but their actions actually say that I don't believe in God. And so disobedience is kind of an action that indicates maybe God is not all that important to me. Maybe he's not really worth anything. Because parents are representatives of God. God has invested in them authority. And to obey them is to actually obey God. To disobey them is actually to disobey God. And when I first heard this, like, man, I shuddered, because I was like, some of the stuff that I did to my parents in disobedience. I said stuff to them, like, in a disrespectful tone. I never, like, cursed at them or anything like that, but I said things in a disrespectful tone. Man, I stole from my mother. Now, again, this is Pastor Martin before he got saved, before he became a follower of Jesus, right? I would never steal from my father, because my father, man, he was like, man, he would tear my hind parts up. But my mother, she would too, but she would just do it in a different way. And that was like the ultimate disrespect. So part of this is like, my honor to God shows up when I obey and listen to the words of my parents. Here's the third reason. Third reason is you repel the popular philosophy of our culture. You repel the popular philosophy of our culture. And this is where we get it says, "For this is right." For this is right. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that this is the correct way to do it. This is the standard. So obedience to parents is the standard. Obedience is the way things should be. So if you and I have friends who are disobeying their parents, they are the ones that are out of step. They are the ones that are abnormal, and you're obeying your parents. You're the one that's normal. You're actually following what God says, and that is the way God has set it up from the very beginning. So to disobey our parents and to do the abnormal thing, to disobey them, it actually breaks the family structure the way God intended for it to be. And so the first responsibility that you and I have is to actually obey, and that helps end the war. To obey, and that helps end the war. So when we talk about it is right, you obey your parents, just lean in. You obey your parents, and everybody else in the culture does not. And you stand out as distinct. You stand out. Yeah, for some people say you stand out like a sore thumb, but man, you stand out. And you know what's going to happen? When you live this way, God will bless you. We're going to see that in a few minutes. He will bless your life. He will bless your future, your career. He will bless your relationship with your parents. He will bless your relationship with your friends. So part of obedience is, man, expressing your love for God, recognizing God, that God has placed authority in your parents, and it makes you look so different than your friends. And guess what's going to happen? Your friends are going to begin to ask questions, and you get to tell them, man, that, man, God changed my life. And part of that distinction is for me to obey my parents. That's the first responsibility. Here's the second responsibility, is to honor my parents. Honor my parents, to honor my parents. Now, this actually comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's actually the fifth commandment. This is the beginning of the commandments dealing with relationships. The first few commandments, the beginning of the Ten Commandments is all about my relationship with God. And the last commandments are of the Ten Commandments, they're all about my relationship with other people. And one of the relationships is relationship with my parents. And so Paul says, as well as Moses in Exodus, honor your mother and father. Honor your father and mother. Now, this word honor means to treat them as precious, to treat them as important. So honor, so obedience is the duty. Here it is. And honor is the attitude behind the duty. Obedience is the duty, and honor is the attitude behind the duty. Here it is. Check this out. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. So kind of eavesdrop in on this, parents, and children, lean in a little bit more. Have your mother or father ever told you to do something, and you did it, but you grumbled the entire time? Have your mother and father ever asked you to do something and you talked under your breath the entire time? In your mind, said, well, I don't want to do this and I can't stand it. You dragged your feet to do it. Well, then even then you were dishonoring. Even though you were doing the duty, God looks at not only the duty, but he also looks at the motive behind the duty. He looks at the disposition behind the duty as well. Man, I can't tell you the number of times my mother and father asked me to do something, and I slow-butted around, I dragged my feet, I didn't want to do it. I was actually dishonoring my parents. I can't tell you the number of times that we've told Marvin, Micah, and Michaela, and even Ashton to do something, and they just like, ah. They did the duty, but they were dishonoring at the same time. So this is so, so key and so important that we treat, not only do the duty, but have the attitude behind the duty. It is highly valuing your parents, highly valuing who they are. So honor, so here it is. So you have honor, holding them up in high esteem, recognizing their words as important. So the opposite of honoring my parents is cursing my parents. All right, can you put that up there? The opposite of honoring my parents is cursing my parents. Now, cursing my parents is not saying bad words and using profanity. That's not what we're talking about. Cursing my parents is actually this idea of snatching authority away from them. Snatching authority away from my parents, the authority that God has given them. Snatching away their authority, snatching away their importance. It is wrong motive and wrong disposition behind the duty that we're doing. So let me give you some ways. What are some ways we dishonor our parents? What about this one? Talking behind their backs. Whoa, some parent just shouted right there, just shouted and just fell on the floor and said, I've been saying this, and listen, just stay here. Just keep it right here. If you talk back to your parents, man, you're dishonoring them. And we end up missing the blessing of God. We end up missing what God may have for us. You remember part of that passage where one of the benefits, or the benefits when Paul says, hey, that it might go well with you, that you might live long. Typically and generally speaking, children who obey their parents tend to do things and live in such a way that doesn't put them in harm's way to lose their life early. But not only that, God blesses us even in this life when we honor them. What about disrespectful tones? I said I would do it. Well, why are you always talking like that to me? Oh, whoa, time out. I am not one of your friends. I am not one of your friends. I am your mom. I'm your dad. And so that's dishonoring to parents. Talking back. Like going back and forth. Now, parents, we're going to get to you next week because there are some things you do to provoke your children to anger. And we look at our children and they look that this is an angry generation and we act like we've had nothing to do with it. And so I want you to, you don't go on vacation next week. Don't say, well, I'm busy. Don't do that next week because we're coming for you next week, all right? How about rolling your eyes at your parents? Like, I am very fortunate to still have my eyes today because I did that to my parents. How about walking away while they're still talking? Like, have you ever, your mother and father become like Stretch Man in the Fantastic Four, and you're walking, you're three rooms away, and you're like, they grab you and bring you back and say, don't you dare ever walk away from me while I'm still talking to you. That's disrespectful, right? How about lying to your parents? So I used to do this. I used to dishonor my parents in this way. Now, again, do not use my example. I used to fudge the truth, right? I used to fudge the truth. When my parents say, they would tell me not to go to a certain place, you know, don't go to that house or don't play basketball or in that area. What I would do, if they told me not to go to a house, what I would do, I would go to one place, and then I would end up going to that house. And then my parents would say, where were you? I said, well, I went to the park. It was true that I did go to the park, but I never told them that I went to the house that they told me not to go to. So even in that, I was being deceitful. I was being deceitful and said, you know, I was just around the corner. Well, like, no, that's not true. So lying to your parents dishonored them. Disrespecting their house, having people in the house when you're not supposed to, you know, all those kinds of things. That's another one. Hitting your parents. Did you know that there are over 10,000 assaults from children to parents every single year where children hit parents? Unthinkable, and yet it's true. Stealing from your parents, even neglecting them in their old age, is dishonoring. I stole from my parents, I stole from my mother, and that was like that's the last time I would do that. I was dishonoring to her. So two responsibilities: obey, listen to their words, honor, treat them as important, hold them in high esteem, and let them know that they're valuable. So let me give you a peace plan. Let me give you a plan, these are the practical ideas to help you as a child carry out your responsibility as a child. Number one, the P. I've actually, you know, this is not really clever. I just actually made an acrostic piece. P, pursue my relationship with my parents with the Bible as my standard. Not what the culture is saying, not what your friends are saying. See what the Bible says about how you're supposed to respond to your parents, treat your parents, and live that way according to Scripture. The E, express my love to God by obeying my parents. So again, when you obey your parents, you're actually lifting up your worship to God. That is telling God how much he is worth to you. The A, appreciate my parents every chance I get. Every chance I get, write them a note right now. Write them a card. Draw it in crayon. Mom, thank you. When they make a good meal, thank you. Mom, for washing my clothes. Mom, thank you. When they allow you to use the car. Mom, thank you. Dad, thank you. When they go grocery shopping and get your favorite things, not yet. When they go grocery shopping and get your favorite things, say thank you. Here's the truth. If you disobey and dishonor, one day your parents won't be there. And you and I are going to wish that we would have a moment to say thank you. Or, I'm sorry, I should have listened more. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, this is not guilting. This is not condemnation. And I know I do. I wish my mother and father were alive today. So I can thank them for the whoopings. So I can thank them for the punishments. So I can thank them for all the good things, the lessons that they taught me, the lessons that I've passed down to my children. So every chance you get, tell your mother and father thank you. If your both parents are deceased, just write a note and just express in your heart, from your heart, what you want, what you would have wanted them to know. So here's the C in the peace plan. Conduct myself in a way that brings honor to my parents and to God. So when you go to school, some of you have already started school, some of you are going to be in school in the next couple of weeks, the way you talk to your teachers actually is a reflection on God and a reflection on your parents. The way you hang out, the way you say what you say, how you say what you say, that is actually a reflection. So conduct yourself by the power of the Spirit of God. You can't do this apart from the Spirit of God. Conduct yourself in a way that honors them, that shows that, man, you are important to me. And then finally, exercise patience and forgive my parents for past mistakes. Hey, your parents, I'm a parent, and I've made tons and tons of mistakes. Just ask my kids. You're a parent. You've made tons and tons of mistakes. Kids, your parents are not perfect. They're not perfect. So forgive them when they make a mistake. Sometimes parents are only raising their children like they've been raised. And it may not necessarily be the best way, but it's the way they know. My mother and father did that. My mother and father, they knew what they knew, and they raised me the way they raised us the way they raised us. There are some things that I just simply won't do that my mother and father did to me, and my kids will be different as well. So sometimes they make mistakes. Forgive them. I shared this story before. I don't know if I shared the other part. It's that I was angry with my father for a long, long time because he hit my mother. I saw it. I became bitter and resentful and on the verge of hateful. And then I heard passages like this. And I heard passages like forgive 70 times 7. I heard passages like that God will forgive you, or you will show that you know forgiveness based on how you forgive others. So it was my first year of college. I came home and I had asked my dad if I could have a conversation with him. And I looked him in the eye and I just said, I was angry with you for a long time. And I wanna say, number one, I'm sorry. And number two, I forgive you. And then I asked him to forgive me for the bitterness and resentment I had toward him. And we hugged, and not too long after then, he had a series of strokes. that left him debilitated and incapacitated. He couldn't talk. He couldn't respond. And I am so, so glad. I am so glad that I closed that account. I am so glad that the Spirit would not let me hold a grudge, because I would have missed hearing my father say, "I forgive you. It's okay, son." And so if you have a grudge, you have a long account with a parent right now, I would call them today. If they're in the house right now, I would say, can we have a conversation? I am sorry. I forgive you. We're going to talk to parents next week. And parents, you got to be here next week. So I'm sorry. I want to end the war. And so here are my two responsibilities. I'm going to obey and I'm going to honor you. As long as I live, I'm going to try to honor you by the power of the Spirit. I'm going to honor you as my mother. I'm going to honor you as my father. I may not agree with you, everything you tell me. I may not agree with everything that we have different ways of looking at things, but I'm going to honor you. And when we do that, the war will end, and we will feel the shalom, or the peace, the blessing of God come on our home. So I'm going to pray for us before I turn it back over to Charlie, and so would you pray with me. God, thank you for your word. And we ask that you would help us as children to obey and honor so that we may end the war. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Charlie Hawk.
To me, man. Why you gotta do that to us kids? Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you all for joining us. Kids, we have our duties, we have our tasks. They have been laid out before us. Let's make something happen because of them. Like, you can hear them. I can hear them as much as I can. I can hear them all the time, but nothing happens until we actually do something based off of them. So let's make it our goal this week as kids. I live with my parents still. I live under their authority. And so let's make it our duty this week and our goal this week to act on at least one thing. I'll just do at least one thing that Marv was saying this morning. So, hey, we love you guys. Thanks for being here. Parents, you guys have a warning for next week. It's coming. It's coming at you next week. So, hey, we love you so much. Thank you for being here with us today. And we hope you have a blessed Sunday. Thanks for being here.